Live from the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions, broadcasting from the Pods Moving and Storage Studios, this is The Ramsey Show. It's where America hangs out to have a conversation about your life, specifically your money, your relationships, your mental health, your work, your future. I'm Ken Coleman. Dr. John Deloney joins me. We are Ramsey Personalities. We host our own shows as a part of the Ramsey Network, and we team up today for you. So obviously we're going to take your money calls. We'll also take maybe those sticky work situations. Can I just tell you that we will change your name and location if it's particularly sticky, but John and I like those. I mean, like the really like dumpster fire work questions, those are fun.
Yes, and the dumpster fire at home questions are
those two
are good.
And we'll change your name, location. We understand that privacy is needed sometimes, but so we're taking all those calls and your money calls as well. 888-825-5225, 888-825-5225. Let's go to San Francisco, California, where we start off this hour. Carl is there. Carl, how can we help?
Hey guys, thanks for taking my phone call. I was calling because to give you a little bit of a background information, I'm 34 years old. I'm a self-employed electrician. I started my business back in October of 2020, and I'm trying to purchase my first home. Last year, my father passed away, unfortunately, and I tried to purchase his home, but when I was speaking, I believe I spoke to two different loan officers, and both of them were telling me that since I've only been self-employed for about a little over a year, they were telling me that my only option were non-qualified mortgages. So I was just wondering if I could get some information from you guys on how to go about, you know, purchasing a home.
How much money do you have saved up for the down payment?
Currently in my savings, I have $375,000. When the inheritance from my father passed away without a will, unfortunately. Oh, so we're going through the probate process. You know, based on the value of the estate, the four siblings are probably going to get around $380,000, $400,000 each. Mm-hmm. So there's
okay. What kind of
be about that much
yeah? So there. You're in the San Francisco area. So what's the price of a home that you're targeting?
I think, you know, anything that is, you know, halfway decent is kind of in the $900,000 range, you know. You know, when I look on Zillow and I see houses that have sold recently, like stuff that I would be interested in actually living in is kind of like right there in the $920,000 range.
Well, you're going to have a tremendously large down payment, so that's great news, and that should help you. John, the first thing that came to my mind is I want him to talk to our friends at Churchill Mortgage and tell him, you know, he called the show.
Yep.
Here's my situation. Here's the whole shooting match. Tell him the whole story. And I think they'd work with you because of the down payment that you have. You're going to be in really, really good shape. So I don't want you to be discouraged. I'd like you to call Churchill Mortgage. We'll make sure that we get you connected to them after this phone call. But with the amount of money you're going to be able to put down, I just want you to be encouraged. You're going to be able to easily get the loan, the small loan that you're going to need.
Do you guys recommend going on a 15 or still putting it on a 15?
Just playing with those numbers.
And listen, when I worked with Churchill, the first thing the guy told me, he's an incredible man. He said, I'm going to sit down with you and I'm committing now. I'm not going to take your money if this is not in your best interest. That's how they started the conversation with me, okay? So great people, and they'll walk you through, here's what I need from you, here's why I need it from you, and here's what we're hoping to do. Here's the other thing, is home purchasing, people have stopped taking out loans. It's just kind of fallen off the map. And so you should be able to find somebody that will work with you. Start with Churchill because I trust those good folks.
Yeah.
For sure. It seemed like when I was looking, everybody, like, you know, everybody was putting me on the back burner. Like they just kind of wanted me to talk to them when I was like literally a week away from making a purchase or something like that.
How long ago was this?
Hopefully. It was in April.
Yeah. A little bit different market now. There's a lot of mortgage people sitting around playing Wordle right now. things have slowed down if you've paid attention to the news. I don't know what was going on there, and there's no need to try to break that down. I literally want you to call Churchill and say, look, I called and I talked to Ken and John on the Ramsey Show.
And they told me that you guys can help me. The fact that you're self-employed should not be that big of an issue, given that you've been there for a year and you have enormous down payment. Now, you know, having that inheritance needs to be a part of this conversation, so you may have to be patient. Are you renting right now?
I'm renting a room right now.
Yeah, so here's the deal. Relax, and not to say that you're not, but let's get that in. Let's get that inheritance. Let's get that big nest egg, because that's going to be that big down payment, and that's going to be your, I would believe, guarantee to get a mortgage. And a small mortgage, 15-year, because you're going to pay that off quickly. You're going to have a tremendous rate on that, and you're going to pay that off, and you're going to be crushing it. Hey, I want people to hear your story. What were you doing before you became a self-employed electrician? Were you working for somebody else? Were you apprenticing? What's the story?
I was a union electrician for the IBEW.
Nice.
I still maintain my membership with IBEW.
Good. How's business going for you?
You know, things have definitely slowed down. Calls aren't coming in like they used to 6 months ago, but I'm still, you know, getting projects here and there, and it's definitely, you know, I have nothing to complain about.
Good. You like working for yourself?
I do have, yeah, I mean, it's definitely been a reality check. There's there's been, you know, some very high highs and some very low lows.
All right. Here's why I asked
overall
that.
I would never go ahead.
I want you, don't get in a hurry to buy a house. Houses are still going to be there. And that massive down payment through the inheritance on top of what you already have in savings is going to be there. You're in your first year. So many businesses, small businesses fail in their first year, year and a half. You've got a reality check
October
right now.
October is going to be year two.
I know. That's what I'm saying. You've made it past most small business owners, and so you've made it, and you've seen the ups and the downs. Let's keep building that electrician business. Let's keep going there. Don't be in a big hurry. Do call Churchill Mortgage, but really focus on growing that clientele and that business, because that is going to be huge for you given your great financial position. But you should be really encouraged.
And Carl, it's also okay to get this big inheritance and park it and to rent your own apartment for a year. And I know apartment rents are sky high, all that, but there's a graduated step between renting somebody's room and having my own place. And man, just taking a break. Your dad passed away, still mourning that, having that money. There's just this, I got to go do something. Nah, you really don't, man. You can do this in stages. And you're going to not stress yourself out with a home purchase at the same time your personal business is slowing down a little bit.
Yeah. You know, there's something about people just don't want to rent because they feel like they're wasting money. And I love to just remind people, Stacy and I rented for 2 years when we moved here just because we knew we were planting long time.
Yeah.
And it just gave us options. We didn't think of it, oh, I'm throwing money away every month. It was like, okay.
No, I'm buying peace of mind.
Right yes. Now. Great way of saying that. And so just
I'm buying freedom right now.
It gives you options, folks. You're not wasting that money. All right, thank you so much for the call, Carl. We love small business owners. The best is yet to be for you, my friend. I promise you that. And call Churchill Mortgage. They'll help you. All right, don't move. More Ramsey Show and more of your calls coming right up.
Listen, everyone needs ID theft protection. It doesn't matter your age, how much money you have, or where you live. Once you're a victim, and it's likely to happen to all of us at some point, your personal and financial reputation gets ripped to shreds, and it's a nightmare to clean up. Having the right protection and not wasting money are key, and that's what Xander's ID Theft Protection Plan is all about. They've bundled together the services you need at pricing that can't be beat. With monitoring that includes your home title, VPN encryption, unlimited recovery services, and even stolen funds protection, you're getting a great value and dealing with people you can trust. I could go on, but you can see for yourself. Go to Xander.com or call 800-356-4282 and get the protection you need. Whether you're ditching an overpriced plan or getting protected for the first time, Xander's team are the only people I trust and recommend.
Welcome back to The Ramsey Show. I'm Kent Coleman, joined by my colleague, Dr. John Deloney. We're here taking your calls, 888-825-5225. That's 888-825-5225. Let's go to Doug in Sacramento, California. Doug, how can we help?
Hi, Ken. Hi, John. How are you guys doing?
We're having a blast, Doug. What's going on?
I'm in a not great situation, and I'm trying to get some advice. Hopefully some advice that saves me from going further into debt.
Okay.
A couple years ago...
We can't give you that advice. You just have to choose to not go into debt. All right, now go.
Okay. Well, that's the hard part. A couple years ago, I was debt-free, and I went through a divorce, and I went into debt to get a lawyer in order to have more time with our shared child. And ever since then, it's just been a struggle to survive. I'm in a new city. I don't have anybody else to help me take care of him. And I was driving a beat up car. I had my $1,000 emergency fund, and I was paying down debt as fast as I could. And there was my car broke down, and it costs more to fix it than the car is worth. And now it's already sold to the junkyard, and I need a car by Monday morning so I can get to work. And I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do.
How far are you honestly. From? How far is your work office from your house?
30 minutes, 20-minute drive, maybe.
Okay, and you can't get to that office any other way than owning your own car?
Well, I could Uber.
My friend, you don't have to go into debt right now, is what I'm trying to say. I understand everything you just laid out, and it sucks. But you don't have to buy a car to get to work. Not in today's world. True or false?
That's true.
Now, we need to get you a car. I'm in no way saying that you're going to Uber for the next hour, but we don't want you going into debt. So is your emergency fund completely gone?
I have my $1,000 emergency fund, and I have $500 that I got from the scrapyard for my car.
Okay.
What do you do for a living, ma'am?
I'm a machinist. I'm a machinist.
And did you move to a new town so that because your ex-wife moved to a new town, you want to be with your kid? Why'd you move to a new town?
Yeah, that's why.
How long have you been divorced?
The paperwork was completed about 5-6 months ago.
Okay.
But the process started right about it when COVID happened. So
how much debt have you accumulated now?
All of it together adds up to $23,000.
What's all of it together?
All of it skipped. So there's 10 or there's 9 that goes directly to the lawyer. There's $7,000 on a credit card. There's another $5,900 on another credit card. And then there's $800 that goes to back rent because I was out of work for a couple of months and I wasn't able to pay rent during that time.
What kind of money are you making now?
I guess pretty good. I make $29 an hour.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's pretty good. Go ahead.
No, I wanted to know your overtime. How much can you make on overtime right now?
It comes and goes. It's not very when it's there, I work it, but it's not very dependable. Right. I do have a side. I drive for DoorDash on the side.
Well,
and it brings in some, but it helps beat my car up too.
Okay. Yeah. So you're a machinist, which means you can do a lot of different things with your head and hands, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've got to tell you right now, I would be looking to sell everything you could possibly sell. What kind of side work can you get over the next 2 to 3 weeks? Making really good money, jumping in anywhere and everywhere. I mean, when you don't have the kids or when you're not seeing the kids, you're not sleeping, you're doing everything you can. Let's get you a $5,000 car or a $4,000 car or whatever, get you back on your feet so that you can attack this debt again. How possible is that?
Well, in order to get a $4,000, $5,000 car, I would have to go out and get a credit card to cover the extra.
No. You missed what I said. I didn't say go buy it now. I'm saying go make some money, sell something, do whatever it takes, borrow somebody's car. You know, if you got an Uber for 3 straight weeks, that's what you do. But you work as hard as you can to come up with that money. You can, at $29 an hour, okay, in 2 months or less, you can come up with $5,000 to get a car.
In my mind, the car has to come before, because I don't know how I would get to all the places that I'm going to do the work.
Well, I appreciate that it's in your mind, John. I'm missing the connection.
Doug, here's the thing. Let me ask you this, Doug. Why'd you get divorced?
Oh man, we weren't getting along. We were not getting along.
Why not?
A lot. It goes both ways. It was okay. A lot of her and a lot of me.
Okay. Here's on this side of it, and maybe I'm reading too much into this, man. You sound exhausted and you sound defeated. Sounds like you wake up every day and your first thought when you're washing your face in the mirror, if you even bother to do it, is how the hell did my life end up like this? Am I right?
Yeah.
I'm in a strange town in a job that is fine. I'm just trying to hang on to my kid. And let me tell you this, you're a good dad. You fought for your kid and you fought with every claw and scratch you could, and you're exhausted. And mm-hmm. when you get exhausted, when we get exhausted, and when we get lonely, we cut corners. And we cut corners, man, you find yourself in a hole you can't dig out of. Or that's going to take you, instead of 2 months, it's going to take you 2 years. Mm-hmm. Don't do it, man. So it's a matter of, like, kids, this is scorched earth. This is old school, before everyone had credit cards. Our dads and our granddads just had to figure crap out. This is you right now.
Yeah.
And it might be 2 months of you telling your wife, or your ex-wife, I'm gonna give up my time with my little one for 30 or 60 days, because I refuse to put me and him in another hole like I've done before. And we're gonna get a car, and then we're gonna work like crazy. And then you're gonna look up in a year, and this is gonna be a totally different picture. What Ken and I have the blessing to do is to see people in your mess, and then we get to talk to them a year from now, and they breathe different, and they sleep different, and they laugh different. And you're just in the hole, man. And so we got two guys in the light saying, hey, walk this way. And I get, it's like, you can't even see it. Like, I don't, how am I possibly supposed to do any more work? And what we're telling you is just go for it.
Yeah.
You got to work your way out of this. You don't want to add another $5,000 in credit card debt at whatever interest rate you're already at, when you can bust it like we're telling you, and you can buy a decent little car for $4,000 or $5,000 that'll get you from point A to point B.
Or $2,000. Do it for $2,000. Yeah. Get a piece of junk for $2,000.
Yeah. And stop DoorDashing. Mm-hmm. That's DoorDash. Can I just say this? DoorDash is great. All work is worthy. But for you, a machinist, I wish I could do stuff that you do. I could be so much more valuable for Stacy around the house. But I'm an idiot, okay? I can't fix anything. But you are so talented and you are so needed. You could find work all over the place. Side jobs here and there using your skills. True or false?
Yeah,
come
I
on,
could.
Doug. Come on, Doug.
Yeah.
Do you believe you're talented or not?
I'm good with... No, I do. I could do so much more than I'm doing.
Then go do
right
so
now.
Much
I just
more.
Feel so tied down.
You do.
I get it.
You got through round one, and you got your head knocked off, but you're not unconscious, and you're now on the stool, and Ken and I are your trainer looking at you. We just put your mouthpiece back in, and we're telling you, get up and go out there and start swinging. The fight's not over. It's just round one. Yeah, you got your bell rung in round one. Now we're all watching to see what are you going to do next. Commit to not borrowing money, man. Move forward, not backwards.
Doug, you could do this. You got so much more strength than you could possibly imagine. Believe in yourself and just go work yourself out of this hole. You can do it. We believe in you. This is The Ramsey Show. Welcome back to the Ramsey Show. I'm Ken Coleman. I'm joined by my colleague, Dr. John Deloney, and we're thrilled to be here with you today, taking your phone calls, 888-825-5225. That's 888-825-5225. Let's go to Los Angeles, California, and Drew is there. Drew, how can we help?
Hi, Ken and John. How are you doing?
We're having a blast. Drew, what's going on?
So I have a question about a will. About in 2014, my grandfather died, and he had a substantial amount of wealth. So fast forward to today, and the way his design, the way his will was designed, was that it was supposed to be divided up amongst half to take care of my grandmother, and then half was supposed to go to my dad and his sisters. However, my grandmother did not want to honor my grandfather's will, so she went to the executor of the will, asked if she had to do it, and they went to a lawyer. Somehow they changed the will, and that will is not being honored. I was wondering if this was legal, or if I should be, or if my family should be looking to take action on this, or what would you suggest?
Well, so she hired a lawyer, and you said went to the executor
of the will. The executor of the will was nobody in our family. It was a accountant trusted by my grandfather.
Right.
And when she went to the executor, she told him, I don't want to honor this. Can we change it? So they found a lawyer who somehow found a way to change it.
How much wealth are we talking about here?
I don't have an exact figure. I know that it's a very substantial amount.
Substantial, like $1 million? Substantial, like $100 million? What do you guess?
Probably north of $5-10 million.
Okay. Here's what I'm getting at. I've never heard of what you've described. And I spent my career around attorneys. I know a lot of people don't want to honor a will, but that's what a will is for. It's a legal document. Mm. So if you have reason to believe that something nefarious happened, like somebody went and changed somebody's will and is channeling money elsewhere, then you can go get an attorney and fight that. Yep. That's your legal recourse. I'm kind of torn because, I mean, that's a declaration of war against your family, right? But also, right, your grandmother doing that is also a declaration of war against her, against your family. So, I mean, it's kind of tit for tat.
Yeah, I just am curious, John. If the lawyer can't do it, I mean,
yeah, I've never heard of
this. So who, what, you're not, I don't know the rest of the story, and I'm not sure you know the rest of the story. Meaning, when the lawyer who was hired by the executor and grandma got the will changed, did it go before a judge?
So as far as I know, no. However, apparently there was a legal loophole where my grandmother did not have to honor this will.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, we're not legal experts, so we can't. Right. There's very little we can do other than to say, if you want to challenge this,
you want to sue your grandma, go
get a lawyer and tell the lawyer the story. But you better have your facts before you start spending lawyer money.
You don't have a claim to the suit because you're not a beneficiary in the will.
Your dad
does. So your dad's gonna have to sue his mom and get to the bottom of it.
That's right. Sorry.
Okay. And then that's the other part of it. It's just. Yeah. Kind of disgusting.
I've watched a lot of Matlock when I was growing up. He doesn't even know who that is. I'm sure he's too young.
Matlock.
Yeah. But we're not lawyers.
Here's the messy thing. My guess is there's a lot more mess in this family.
Oh, I was
situation.
Getting ready to say to you, what do you see in that? We got grandmama, and she's going, I don't want my kids to get the money.
Or grandma's got dementia, or an attorney friend or the accountant reached out and said, hey, there's a way we don't have to give this money away.
Yeah, there's a lot below the surface here.
A whole bunch.
Methinks Thanksgiving dinner's not been very warm.
Exactly. So here's the deal. You can sue your grandma, and you can hire an attorney to do a forensics accounting of what the original will was, and where's the assets, and who's got them, and why, and who tried to change it, and is there any criminal behavior? You can do that. Absolutely.
Oh, sure.
And Thanksgiving's different forever. It's already different.
I think it already is. Probably hadn't been very nice for a long time.
That's right.
That's unfortunate.
Sorry, brother.
Yeah, sorry that we aren't legal experts, but I would talk to Pops, and he needs to fight if he wants to fight.
And reach out and get an attorney.
Yeah, let's get to Cincinnati, Ohio. Brady is there. Brady, how can we help?
Hey, Brady, how you guys? Or sorry,
you're Brady.
You're Brady. What's going on, man? We're doing great. How can we help?
So, my grandpa told me about Dave Ramsey a couple years ago. Didn't really listen. Didn't really think I would need it. And then I find myself almost $400 negative on my bank account. So I start looking at Dave Ramsey finally, and I've been looking for about a week now. My wife's on board with it, but we just have absolutely no idea where to start.
All right,
so
give
I'm
us a picture.
For a push or some advice.
All right, okay, we'll give you some advice within the baby steps, which are pretty simple to understand. Give us a picture of what's going on with you financially. Let's start with debt.
Okay, debt. So we've got mortgage about 150. I've got a truck of about 40,000, which I know is ridiculous. That's probably the first thing I need to take care of.
Yeah. Well, let's stay right there. Let's get some momentum on the truck. How much is that truck worth?
It's only worth about 37 private sale based on Kelley Blue Book.
All right, keep going.
40 on it.
Okay, keep going with the car. What's the car?
Okay, and then my wife's car, it's worth like 13. She owes about 9 on it. Mm-hmm. So we've got a little bit of equity in that one. And then we've got various credit card debts, personal loan, and then a lot of medical debt as well.
How much credit card debt?
Total, like $5,000.
Okay, what's the medical debt?
I have to get it all together, but I would say probably close to $10,000, maybe a little bit under.
$10,000, okay. All right, and what do you have in savings? Any cash?
I've got no savings in cash.
All right.
What's your income?
I make about 46. I get a raise in 9 days, and I'll be making 56 a year.
Does your wife work outside the home?
She only works every Friday and gets paid $100 every Friday.
Do you guys have kiddos?
We do. We have two.
Okay. All right, John, you want to walk you through the baby steps? Or, is this tag team here?
So first thing we're going to do is, oh, man, you got a mess on your hands. Actually, you got a mess on your hands, but you can start cleaning this up today. So here's baby step one. You're going to sell some stuff and get $1,000 in the savings account. Full stop.
Okay, and we are working on that. We've got everything on Facebook Marketplace.
There you go.
That we can...
Everything. I want those two kids to be like, are we going on the marketplace? Right? That's the goal, right? Everything.
Right.
Your old guitars that you're like, no, dude, I'm going to get the band back together. You're not right now. You're not, right? You got two mowers because you're that guy. Sell one of them, right? Whatever you got to do. You've got a truck that is about your annual income. That's what you owe on it. That's correct. Insanity. You know that, right?
I know. I 100% agree.
I would probably, 100%. If I find myself in your situation, I would go down to take both cars and sell them both and leave with two old used Camrys. That's what I would do.
Okay.
This is an emergency situation. You got two little kids and you've got negative dollars in your checking account. This is not a time to be like, yeah, but I know. That, man, you're a long way off from that. Got it?
Right.
And let me back up. Before you get the $1,000 emergency fund, dude, you need to have a target of what you're trying to hit. You've got to be a grown-up and go get pull your credit report from one or two of the service providers, and you've got to know exactly how much you owe in order from smallest to largest, right? And you're going to go through these things and start knocking them off one at a time. You're going to work extra. Your wife's probably going to have to work. You're going to have to call on people to keep the kids. You're going to have to get after it.
Brady, you can do this. Hang on the line. We're going to gift you a free membership, trial membership, whatever we do, guys, to FPU, Financial Peace University.
But you got to watch the video.
Listen, you got to stay with it. Let's give him Total Money Makeover as well. And John's right. I'd sell those cars instantly and work more overtime side jobs than you ever have in your life. You're really close to getting out of this. You can do this. Welcome back to The Ramsey Show. I'm Ken Coleman. My colleague is Dr. John Deloney, who joins me this hour. 888-825-5225 is the phone number. 888-825-5225. Hey, listen, folks, we want to know what you think. We really do. And who doesn't love their own opinion? Yeah, it's what I used to love about the old school, like, Tonight Show when Jay Leno would, you know, they'd take a camera out on the street. You stick a microphone and a camera in someone's face and ask them anything, most people are like, no idea what I'm being asked, but I'm going to answer anyway.
That sounds like the internet.
Yeah, we don't want that kind of opinion, but we do want those of you who love the show, who digest the show, however you do, to give us your feedback so that we're bringing you more of what you want. So one way you could do this is by answering a few questions in a new show survey we just launched. You could check it out at RamseySolutions.com/survey. That is the website. RamseySolutions.com/survey. It only takes a few minutes, and we're going to try to incentivize you. A $500 Visa gift card is up for grabs, and I guess you become eligible for that when you go to Ramsey Solutions. Ramsey Solutions, rather. Can't talk, John. .com/survey. RamseySolutions.com/survey. Tell us what you think. Be kind. Be gentle.
But be honest.
Actually, be honest. I'm not going to read it. Somebody else does.
They'll read it to us.
They'll tell us.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. All right, back to the phones we go. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, home of the Steelers. John is there. John, how can we help?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. What's up?
So a couple questions, both kind of revolved around pausing the baby steps, if possible. One is about getting a house. We have a house. It's a townhouse, and we're looking to upgrade. Two kids, boy, girl. We only have two bedrooms, so we want them to have separate bedrooms eventually. And then emergency fund, if I dip into it, do I pause the baby steps to pay it back?
Well, first, don't dip into your emergency fund for something that's not an emergency.
So there, so we just dipped in. It was a surgery my wife had. Would that be considered? It was a few thousand dollars, and we didn't know if we should cash flow it, which it might take a little bit of time, but they started to come in, so we took a couple thousand to start to pay.
I would not call that an emergency if you could cash flow it. And remember, emergency fund is for that true emergency. Something comes out of nowhere, and we didn't plan for it, and it is a significant expense, and so it needs to be paid and needs to be dealt with right now. That's how we would define an emergency. Am I right, John?
Yeah, I had a procedure done a few weeks ago, but I knew it was coming a couple of months in advance, and so my wife and I prepared for it. So
it is what we didn't know was coming, so
okay.
I didn't know how.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. I mean, if you all of a sudden you need emergency surgery, or hey, you have to have surgery next week. Yeah, that's what the emergency fund's for.
How much did you take out?
It was $3,000 out of it.
All right. So are you asking if you pause the baby steps until you replenish?
Yeah, do we pause? Because we could pay it back within a month if we. But do I pause the investing in my kids' college and those things to pay it back real quick, or do we just slowly cash flow it back?
No, slowly cash flow it back. You wouldn't pause the rest of the baby steps. I mean, it's $3,000. You guys are doing okay, correct?
Right. Yes. Yeah. We're about a year out of debt.
Good man.
Good for you, man.
Listen, John. I know what you're talking about. I had an idiot moment. It's probably worth sharing. I had a small leak in my living room, John, in the corner. Have I told you this story?
Uh-uh.
Yeah. And
idiot stories.
Yeah, well, I am good at these. So long story short, John from Pittsburgh and John here in the studio is we had a leak in the wintertime. It was the corner of the roof right in the living room, and I started to see one night a little bubbling up, and I was like, uh-oh. And we'd had heavy rain for 2 or 3 days. And so I went up like Clark Griswold up in the ceiling in the attic and made it all the way across, walked across the boards, you know, in my moccasins, like a complete idiot, you know. And I saw where the leak was. Okay, it's not a disaster, but we got a nail hole or something. I'm going to have to call the roofer. On my way back. Yeah, you know where this is going, don't you, John?
Right through.
Yeah, I had some Flex Seal that I sprayed. You know that guy that yells at you can put your boat back together?
Yeah.
I bought that. I thought, well, that'll keep it until. And so the cap wasn't on. And so as I'm walking across the tube of, you know, the joist, floor joist, I looked at the cap and decided to adjust the cap while I was walking on the high wire and stepped through my ceiling. About broke my leg. I mean, it was disastrous. I'm not kidding you. Like, half my leg is hanging through our living room ceiling. you know, that kind of stuff can happen.
That's right.
You know, and so there were several damages, you know.
That's what the emergency fund is for, right there.
That's what the emergency fund is for, because I needed it fixed immediately, and we hadn't budgeted for it. We could have cash flowed it and moved the budget around. But the point is, small amount out. Yeah. But I hate touching my emergency fund is my point.
Makes me crazy.
So, John, I totally get where you're at. I always like to replenish that emergency fund when we have to use it almost immediately, because I hate using it. However, in this case, don't pause the baby steps. You're going to replenish it pretty quickly. Okay?
Now, what about the upgrade of the house, which is like a 3B? Kind of thing, do we pause to, because we feel like we're close to the way the market is in our area, but we need a little bit more, we feel, down payment to get to the 15-year mortgage.
If you think you can do it in 6 months, I'd be all right with it. If you think you can do it quickly.
That was my question. I think we can do it in 6 months.
If you can do it in 6 months and you just want to hit the gas on this real quick thing, fine.
Yeah, I say so. Because you're talking about college investing and then your normal 15%. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. Correct. Because that free up a good bit, and if we just went like back to like the Zelle intense for 6 months, like we were, we could have the cash to get into the
Yes,
house.
But I want y'all to write it down, and I want you to commit to a blood oath. Because here's the deal: whenever you give somebody a little bit, it's like a little bit of wiggle room. You're going to find yourself going out to eat 5 nights a week and doing this. And let's go ahead and buy this house instead of this. Right? See what I'm saying? So
put the plan down 6 months. My wife and I. Okay, let's stick this 6 months, and then we'll. Get back to where we were.
Like, come what may, we're doing this, right? And maybe even go to your HR representative at your office and say for 6 months, and then we want it to automatically trigger back to start the withdrawal again or whatever that looks like. But take it out of your hands as much as possible, and y'all commit. We're gonna look at this every week to make sure we're staying on this thing. But if you think you can knock it out in 6 months, I'm okay with pausing stuff, but don't do it much longer than that, man, because you're going to end up costing yourself down the road.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Great. And hey, I would readopt that Gazelle intensity that you guys, you know, distribute, that you guys displayed to get where you are. So it's a sprint.
We're not going out to eat. We're not buying stuff. Yeah. We're going to have a very sparse Christmas. We're just going to knock this out.
Yep. Because listen, I get where you're at too on the townhouse and the kids and everything. But again, you can create an urgency that's really not urgent.
It's a manufacturer.
The kids are fine. You know, and I get it. You want to separate them and get them in different rooms. I get all that. But take your time. You don't want to sacrifice. John laid that out beautifully. So, hey, man, great job.
Congratulations.
On being debt-free and working the baby steps. And this is a really great call, John. Really, really, really happy for you guys. And that's why the baby steps are so brilliant. Even in their simplicity, they're brilliant.
They're just simple, yeah.
They just give you, I mean, you understand this about human behavior. Talk about the power of riverbanks. You know, to have, okay, this is where I'm running.
Well, I think we as a culture are wrestling with that because we don't like them. And now we've got this tiny little sliver in human history when we can temporarily avoid all boundaries. We can just make it up as we go. You don't like the way you look? Fix it. You don't like the car? You just borrow some money. You just go fix it. We are trying to live in a boundary-free life. Mm-hmm. The problem is, as the great Bessel van der Kolk says, the body's keeping the score. We're not designed to live without boundaries. And it's frustrating to submit to that. And we've got scientists trying to smooth out all riverbanks, right? Let's just let this thing just go any way we want to, whatever you feel like, just go. Ultimately, we got to live within the boundaries, man. And it's frustrating. And boundaries have been used throughout history to abuse people. I get that. And at the same time, math is just math, man. Mm-hmm. It just is. Peace is just peace. And you can play outside the boundaries all you want, man, but it's going to come at a cost. Mm. And so I identify with this guy so much. You get through, and then it's like, now I finally want this car. You mean I got to go 2 more years to save up for this car that I want? Yep. And it's just adopting those principles for the long haul.
Yeah.
Over and over and over again. It's frustrating, but that's good life.
John, you're a stud. Borrow the name from that great football franchise in Pittsburgh and steal your resolve. You guys got this. You got the plan, and you've done it. Big thanks to my colleague, Dr. John Delaney. Thank you to James and the entire team behind the booth. Most importantly, thank you, America, for watching and listening. This is The Ramsey Show.
Dave here. We just launched a brand new audience survey for The Ramsey Show, and we'd love your feedback. You could be entered to win a $500 Visa gift card. No purchase necessary. Take the survey at ramseysolutions.com/survey.
If you enjoy this podcast, you should check out other great podcasts from the Ramsey Network, like Ramsey Call of the Day.
Check out our new Ramsey Call of the Day podcast. It'll give you a quick hit of advice about life and money in under 10 minutes. Listen to the Ramsey Call of the Day wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, it's James, producer of The Ramsey Show. This episode is over, but check the episode notes for links to products and services you heard about during this episode. Thanks for listening.